Before we get started, while he's getting me a cup of water, one verse tonight, and just kind of use this as a pretext for our message. I need a springboard, so that's what we're going to do, is just bounce off the end and keep going. Verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight to preach. I pray that the Word of God might help somebody. Help us to be what we ought to be, live like we ought to live, get a handle on some things in our lives, Lord, that we might be free to do what you'd have us do, help where you'd have us help, spend and give where you'd have us give. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do all things well and have wisdom in all of our business dealings and financial matters. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for the last 18 to 25 years, there's been a movement in America in what they call fundamental churches. Now, you got to understand that the media thinks everybody's fundamental. They think Catholics are fundamentalists. They think Presbyterians and Methodists and Lutherans are fundamentalists. They've got Pentecostal Holiness and Church of God, and all those are fundamentalists. And all of us Baptists are fundamentalists. So the fundamentalist camp to the world is a big bunch. Now to us, it's just a handful. See, we exclude a lot of folks. But in the world, the world's got the fundamental Christians is a big bunch. And in fundamentalism, according to the world, in the last few years, there's been a big movement in what's called prosperity theology. Now, it runs alongside of, simultaneous with, the charismatic movement. And, of course, then there's all kind of little subcultures. You know, we've got all the modern-day religious things and all the Eastern mysticism and what's that new religion called? There's all kind of stuff going on in what's called Christian circles. But one of the big things in the last few years has been this prosperity movement. And the reason for that is it all has to do with you being healthy, wealthy, and wise. It has to do with God pouring out His best on you, and God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be rich. And God wants you to drive a new Cadillac. And if you'll just send me $25 and send it to me. Please send cash or a money order. Don't send no checks. They might bounce. But send me $25 to Reverend Hensley, and I'll send you back a blessed prayer cloth, an anointed feather, the color of the day, or some other token or symbol, a piece of the cross, a rock from the Wailing Wall, or, you know, something. And it's been blessed and anointed. And when you get this thing, you just clutch it in your hand or lay it down and pray over it. And God is going to bless you, and you are going to prosper in this world. We guarantee you, boy, if you'll send us $25, God's going to turn it back to you tenfold. God wants you living a five-bedroom, three-bath house, you know, double-car garage, in-ground pool, and all that stuff. God wants to bless His people. And the way you know that God is blessing is you have all these material possessions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, some of the people that God blessed the most down through history and in the Bible didn't have a house to live in. Materially, they didn't have anything. But boy, if you've got peace of mind, amen, assurance in your heart, you've been blessed. There's a lot of ways to be blessed. A lot of ways to be blessed. There's a lot of ways to prosper. Not all prosperity has to do with the almighty greenback dollar. But in our modern day and age, we have twisted the scripture and wrested them to our own destruction, so that anything that has to do with blessing or prosperity has to mean money. It's like all them Christian singers and stuff doing those aerobic advertisements. The Talley girl, what's Lauren? Not Lauren Talley, but her mama, Deborah Talley and Lauren Talley, and the ladies from the Perry sisters, and a whole bunch more of them gospel singers are into this fitness program, you know. And it's called Fit for Him. Because the Bible said, glorify God in your body. That verse ain't got nothing to do with that. For God, glorify God in your body means to get in an aerobics program and be thin and sexy and wear clingy clothes and show your bosoms and all. I mean, give me a break. Glorify God in your body has to do with you living right and living godly. Not anything to do with how you look or how thin you are. God not into fat or thin. But they've taken that verse and they quote that like that's a correct doctrinal interpretation. And everybody in Christianity just buys it. Well, preacher, they said on TV, God said, glorify Him in your body, and here we are. Ain't we thin and sexy? Well, you Christian ladies ain't supposed to be sexy. You're supposed to be godly. Amen. You want to be sexy, go home, close the bedroom door. Be as sexy as you want to be with your husband. You're supposed to be sexy at church. Yeah. You're supposed to come to church and all the men look at you and, ooh, ooh. That ain't it. Yeah. Amen. And all them verses in the Bible that have to do with being blessed and being prosperous don't have necessarily anything to do with you having extra money in your pocket and living in a big fine house and driving a big fine car and saying, oh, see how God has blessed me? See how we've prospered? That ain't it. God wants you to prosper in your soul. God wants you to prosper in the things of God. But we've taken that and short-sighted it and made it mean money, material blessing. Well, you listen to Benny Hinn, Reverend Ike, all that crowd. I never can figure out on these prosperity fellas why it's always a guy that's got a Mercedes. It's always a guy who lives in a big fancy house. It's always a guy who's wearing a $500 suit. It's always a guy who's got a television program. That's always talking to people that ain't got nothing, telling them to give their money so they can get something. Ain't that weird? Why should that guy that's got it all say, listen, we believe God wants to bless you, and to get things started, I'm going to send you $25. And I'm going to send you this $25, and I want you to pray over it and put it in the bank, and God's going to multiply. God's going to turn this $25 into $500. But it don't work that way. They're always saying, send me your $25. That's why he's rich, stupid. He got 1,000 of you suckers to send him $25 apiece. Amen. Little old lady's on so-so security. He said, why do you call it so-so security? Because it's just so-so, that's why. I'm going to give you God's plan for prosperity. I'm going to give you a biblical plan. This one will work. This one will be sound, buddy. You write this one down and go by it. If you want to be prosperous, here's how you do it. Amen? All right, write this down. I want you all to get it. Number one. God's prosperity plan. Point number one. Got to get your priorities straight. Amen? Anybody knows that in business, if you want to be a success, you got to get your priorities straight. You got to have a plan. You got to have a strategy. You got to know what to put first, what to put second, what to put third. Amen? So, priorities. Number one, priority. Put God Almighty in first place. Amen. In Matthew chapter 6, there's a big discussion there, and everybody's wanting the money and the big houses and the fine cars. And you know what Jesus said? Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now in 6:32, it said they seek after the things which the Gentiles seek after. They were after material possessions. Houses, cars, land, clothes, popularity, prosperity. They wanted prosperity, material prosperity. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get your priorities straight. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be prosperous in this life, the first thing you need to do is quit putting you first, quit putting your family first, quit putting your nation first, and put God Almighty
first place in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you.
Well, I'm going to have a small amen section tonight. I can see that right away. So it doesn't discourage me. I'm used to it. You know what's wrong with American Christianity? We got everything in this world in first place ahead of God.
Amen. If you don't believe it, why in the world do you think so few folks show up at church so seldom?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Say, well, preacher, I know I ought to be there. Well, if you know that, how come you're there? Right. Well, preacher, this came up and that came up. Why, you sorry devil. Anything you want to do, you get it done.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer we do what we want to do. You know why folks don't come to church? They don't want to. You know why folks let little things come up? Oh, preacher, I just forgot. How in the world could you forget? You won't forget to go to work in the morning.
Amen.
Amen. You won't forget to go home tomorrow afternoon. But you forgot to go to church. Give me a break. You just didn't really care nothing about it. Amen.
Amen.
So, well, I was feeling a little bad. I bet you weren't feeling a little bad. I weren't feeling bad all the time. We got a girl that lays out every time she gets a sinus headache. I thought, Lord, I wouldn't work but about 2 or 3 days a month. I live with sinus headaches. I think I was born with a sinus headache. I can't imagine not having a sinus headache. Amen. I don't try to get rid of them. I just try to keep them under control. If I didn't work when I had a headache, I just wouldn't work much.
Amen.
But they'll go to work and feel bad. But they'll lay out of church because they feel bad. Preacher, I was just tired. So, what has that got to do with anything? You don't have your priorities straight. You are not putting God Almighty first. You're putting you first. You're putting the world first. You put your family first. You put your job first. You put everything in this world ahead of God Almighty.
Amen.
Shame on you.
Amen.
And then you want God to bless you when you've got God at the bottom of your list.
Amen.
Number two, first, if you want to be prosperous, you want God to bless you, you got to get your priorities straight. Put God in the right place. Say, well, the wife had something planned with the family. The blazes with the family.
Amen.
God Almighty is more important than any family function you ever had.
Amen.
You say, well, we only get together once or twice a year. Well, I'd get together after church if it was on Sunday or Wednesday. Amen. Say, well, so-and-so's got a ball game or it's so-and-so's birthday. That we go to the ball game if church is over. We have the birthday party before or after church, but we don't. Why? Because we're putting God Almighty first in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You want God's blessing? Put God in his right place. Number two, you want to be blessed? You want some prosperity? You got to have the right kind of work ethic. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, a good first step in a prosperity program is to go to work.
Amen.
Amen. Get your lazy, worthless, good-for-nothing white butt off the dole and go to work. Back in the 30s and 40s when they first started all that welfare stuff, you know, they started with soup lines and stuff during the war. And they called it, they said, are you on the dole? Meaning somebody was doling it out to you. And it was a shame. It was a reproach. Now we give you a credit card so nobody can tell. You know, it just looks like your Visa, MasterCard, and then you can drive a brand new Cadillac and take a handout. Amen. Say, why? Well, because they're not working. They're not working. They're laying around all day. I see big old healthy black men all the time, standing around 10 or 12 of them, drinking and smoking and shooting the breeze and telling jokes in the middle of the day, drawing welfare checks. Why? Because they won't work. If you want to be prosperous, the first step is get yourself a job and go to work. You want money in your pocket? Get a job. Amen. Say, well, I'm looking for a position. I'm highly trained, highly skilled, and highly motivated. And, you know, I'm not the hamburger flipping type. I'm not a McDonald's employee. No, what you are is unemployed leech. You're going to sit around for 6 months, a year, 2 years, talking about you need a job, you need a job, you can't find work, you can't find work, and Hardy's got a help wanted sign in the window. You just think you're too doggone good to work for $6 an hour. Well, you ain't. Why in the world should I buy you a grocery and pay you a rent for 2 years while you sitting around on your lazy butt looking for a job? Get up! Go to work! You don't deserve to have anything if you won't work. Amen. As far as I know, we don't have any lazy bums in our church. This would not be a good place for a fella that wouldn't work. You know what I mean? It'd be hard to live here. I know most of these fellas. They work. Tommy goes in every day. I don't know what he does, but he goes in. Brother Lewis, I know him. I know he'll work. Brother Steve, he goes in every day. Brother Rick goes in every day. Brother, the big Stuart back there. The other Stuart back there, Brother Bruce, he goes to work every day. He comes to church on Sunday morning, he work clothes. I say, I appreciate that. I appreciate folk that'll work. If you want something, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to have, and there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you work and pay for it. Just don't expect me to give it to you. And don't expect to sit around on your blessed assurance and God give it to you. Amen. Most of the time say, well, the Lord just gave us this. Yeah, God gave it to them sorry devils, you know. I talk to them folks on welfare and say, well, the Lord supplied our need. That's because you got out and done a lot of begging. That's because you got your name on every welfare roll, wicks and food stamps and God only knows what, and you won't do nothing. Now, if you're working and you need help, that's fine. I'm not against them programs. I'm all for them. If somebody needs them, that's why they're there. I'm talking about them lazy bums that want to be blessed, they want to be prosperous, but they don't have enough backbone to get up and go to work. Get your priorities straight. Put God first, then work. Now, God will bless that. He will. You put God in his right place and you work hard, God will bless your labor. Amen. Now, I got four subpoints here under point number two on that work ethic. And I'll try not to belabor them, but you know, God blesses all kind of labor. And we got this idea in our society that unless you do certain things, it's dishonorable. Or you shouldn't be proud of who you are or what you do. You know, we've got certain categories of people that we consider successful and that we kind of look up to. If you say so-and-so is a doctor, we automatically put them on a pedestal. Well, that's nonsense. Sometimes it's sorry white trash. I mean, they ain't no good. There ain't nothing to them. You say, well, they're a doctor. Well, big deal. Anybody can go to school and get a degree. Anybody in this room of average intelligence can become a doctor if you'd have wanted to. I don't know why we got them on a pedestal. You go down and the doctor tells you something, everybody just takes their word for it, you know, whatever they say. The doctor said. I question them. I don't believe half what they say. I don't trust them suckers. Most of them stupid. I've talked to them, man. They ain't got no brains. They know some Latin and a few Greek words. They impress you, you know. They don't impress me. I know some Latin and Greek, too. Amen. If what he says don't make sense to what I already know, I'm going to ask somebody else. I ain't got no doctors and no pedestal. I don't trust no lawyers. None. I think you got to sell your soul to become a lawyer. Amen. Now, I guess it's a good thing that some of them fellas can do what they do, but I couldn't do what they do. Here a few years ago, had some fellow over here. York raped that little old 3 or 4 year old girl and took her about 6 or 8 weeks to die because he tore her insides all to pieces. She got all kinds of infections and lingered and laid there and finally died. And some guy got on the radio and said, so-and-so had sex with this little girl. I called that guy up. This is on the story. I called that guy up. I said, let me tell you something, stupid. You don't have sex with a 3 year old. You rape them. You rape them, you moron. Man, I was mad. I get off on that. Lawyer. I don't trust lawyers. Anybody would defend a guy that did something like that? I wouldn't defend him. I'd say, shoot that sucker. Shoot him in the groin or something and let him lay out in the sun and get an infection and die from it in about a week or 10 days. Amen. So I could never be a lawyer. I don't trust them suckers. Anybody can defend somebody like that. There's something missing in your head. I know all about fair trial and stuff, you know, but thank God somebody else got to do that. That's ain't me. Now, we got certain people on pedestals, and we look up to certain professions, and we look down on others. Amen? Anymore, people are ashamed to say, and where do you work, young man? Well, is what you're doing honest? Is it moral? Does it support your family? Then why in the world are you embarrassed or ashamed? Amen. Amen. I stand right in the middle of a room full of lawyers and doctors, and they say, what do you do? I say, I'm a heat and air conditioning technician. Now, I could have said I was Dr. Hensley, pastor of King James Baptist Church, and been their peer. I don't do that to aggravate them. Amen? Thank God for the rain. I do that to aggravate. I say, I do heat and air conditioning. Oh. I call somebody on the phone and call the hospital to talk to somebody. And this happens to me all the time. I call up and I say, can I speak to so-and-so? And who's calling? And if I say, this is Bob Hensley. Well, and they give you the runaround. I call them up and I say, I need to speak to so-and-so. And who's calling? I say, Dr. Robert Hensley. Yes, sir, doctor, just 1 minute. That just aggravates me to death. I'm the same jerk either way. Them degrees in front of my name didn't make me any sweeter, any nicer. Hey, man, I got over my education, thank you. But we do that. Listen, in this world, in that Bible, God honors any kind of work that is honest and moral. Amen. Let me give you some examples. Number one, in the Bible, Matthew chapter 25, verse 27, there's an investment banker. He said, thou therefore oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger so that when I come, I would receive mine own with usury. So God is in favor of the investment banker. Danny Fontana's got an honorable job. He's an idiot, but he's got an honorable job. Hey, man, being a stockbroker, being an investment banker, that's a work. I mean, that guy labors. It's honest work. It's something that needs to be done. We live in a world where we have a giant economy, and there's a place for that kind of thing. Thank God there's somebody that can do that and handle it for you. Amen. Why, over there in Luke chapter 12, verse 18, there's a giant landowner. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger. Wow, that guy had a great big old farm like they got out here in New Mexico and Nevada and Arizona. All them big old truck farms out there raise all that carrots and lettuce and stuff, you know. That's the great big salad bowl out there in the Midwest. And some of them folks own thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of farmland. And they fly airplanes to put insecticide and stuff on them. Man, them guys make big money. They're rich. That's okay. If they came by it honest, if they do it honest, if they work hard, thank God for it. I'm glad I got fresh iceberg lettuce every day for my salad, amen? I don't care if you're an investment banker or a big farmer. God don't care if you're a day laborer. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 2, he said, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day. There's a guy that's on an hourly wage. Amen. The Lord didn't find anything despicable about that. God didn't find anything demeaning about that. Why, there's some jobs out there that need to be done. Do you know not everybody's got the brains or the intellect or the nerves to be an investment banker? And you know some of them investment bankers couldn't put a bolt in a car and tighten it up and make that thing run if their life depended on it. When their car breaks down, they don't call somebody to fix it because they can afford it. They call somebody to fix it because they can't. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the hourly worker that does most of the maintenance and the labor around our country. The plumbers and the air conditioning guys and the electricians and the brick masons. Where in the world would we be if we didn't have them? Those guys get paid an hourly salary. They're not big shots. They're not famous. But they render an honest service. They do a day's work. And it's a proud thing. And you ought to stand up if you're a craftsman, if you're good at it. Amen. Amen. Now, I do heat and air conditioning to make a living. I preach for the fun of it. I just do this because I like it. But I do heat and air conditioning. And I know most of the heat and air conditioning folks in Rock Hill. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know about three that are really good. Donnie Hill is good. And Lewis Steele is good. And Bob Hensley is darn good. I'm good. I'm proud of what I do. I worked at it hard. Amen. I ain't ashamed that I do heat and air conditioning on the side. Don't bother me a bit. Say, why? Because it's honest work. It's hard work. And I do it to feed my family. And it's done a pretty doggone good job. Amen. God blesses the labor of the investment banker and the big landowner and the hourly labor. And he wakes up and God blesses the labors and the efforts of the entrepreneur. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, it said, and there was Lydia, a seller of purple. There's a little old girl, just got her little old one-person business working out of the house. She gets some fabric, she dyes it. Purple's the popular color, you know, that's what's going around them days. And she gets that stuff all fixed up. She takes it out on the side of the street and hangs it up out there and puts up a sign for sale, you know, and she sells that to make a living. She's in business for herself. She's trying to get a good start. Maybe one of these days, if she's successful, she'll own a little older store downtown and sell a whole bunch of stuff. But right now, she's just getting started. We call that entrepreneurship. Amen. That was a proud thing to be. She's in the Bible. Amen. She's in the book of books. God recorded all about this little old lady that sold purple. Amen. In our day and age, women who stay at home and raise their kids are disdained. The world looks down on them because they're not professional women. I don't know about you, buddy, but I've been watching women raise youngins now for a long time. And anybody that does it and does it well ought to get a PhD when they're through. Honest before God, buddy. You got to be a math teacher, a science teacher. You got to have the wisdom of the ages. You got to be a sex counselor. You got to be able to how to break up fights and referee. You got to be a cook and a baker and a housekeeper and a dishwasher. You got to have the patience of Job, the wisdom of a saint, the insight of God himself. I'm telling you, if you got three or four of them little monsters running around a house, it takes a real giant of a person to do that and do it well. And a few husbands go off and make a few dollars and come home. I hate that thing when the men say, well, I make the living around here. Well, she contributes as much as you do. Amen. She earned every bit as much as you did. Amen, 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 and amen. I know. We're supposed to be them macho fundamentalists, you know. Well, all the women are in subjection to us. I ain't met two people in 30 years that understood that thing right. Me and one other guy. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about people at work. It doesn't make a difference what kind of work, as long as it's honest, as long as it's moral. God will bless it. Put God first and go to work. You want to be blessed? You want to be prosperous? Go to work. I don't care doing what. Go to work and ask God to bless your labor. Put God first. Obey God. Keep God's commandments. Hunger and thirst after God's righteousness. And then work, work, work. And ask God. And watch God put his blessing on what you do. Yeah. You know, I know some folks that got a lot of money and they really ain't got nothing in this world. And I know some folks that never made much in their whole life. And you go over there and they got a nice little house and it's all paid for. And they got real nice comfortable furniture and it's all paid for. And they got a little money in the bank. And they ain't never been rich, never been famous, never had a high paying job, never been a big shot. But they've worked all their life and taken care and asked God to bless it and tried to live right. And God's blessed. They're prosperous. Amen. Number three. Now, we need to get our priorities straight. We need to develop the right kind of work ethic. And then we need to remember that God is a capitalist and God blesses capitalism. God's not a communist. God's not a socialist.
God ain't communal nothing. God is for individual labor, and God is for individual property rights and ownership. Amen? The Bible said in James chapter 4 and verse 13. Matter of fact, let's just turn over there and read it. James chapter 4. Just turn over there real quick. Won't take but a second. James chapter 4, verse 13. James 4, 13. He said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there year by year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you ought know not what you shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now the idea there is, they said, we're going to go into such and such a city and we'll work and we'll buy and sell and get gain. There's nothing wrong with that. What they did in the process was they left God out. Say, he's not rebuking them for saying we're going to go and do this and this and this and get gain. He's just saying they should have said, God willing.
Amen.
Amen. By God's grace, we're going to do that. Amen. And so God's a capitalist. You ought to go and say we're going to work and labor and get gain. Isn't that the point of everything you do?
Amen.
I go to work every day because I need a check at the end of the week. You go to work because you need to check it in the week. I saw a little sticker one time that said, I owe, so off to work I go. That's why most of us go. We want to put groceries on the table to feed mama and them young'uns we got. In Acts chapter 5, verse 4, that's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira got this little piece of dirt, and they decided to sell it and make a donation to the church. They owned it. God is a capitalist. Capitalism thrives on hard work, inventiveness, imagination, perspiration. What I'm leaving out a word that's just gone right out of my head. It's just gone. What? That too, buddy. That ain't the word I was looking for, but that'll work. But the point is that God takes what your hard labor and your diligence, and he uses that to get you gain, to make you a living. And God blesses that. God got into that thing about the state owning it and doling it out. That don't work. Amen. God wants you to work. God wants you to make a profit. God wants you to be responsible for your own. Point number four. In God's prosperity program, we got our priorities straight, we got our work ethic straight, we understand that capitalism is what God blesses. The next thing you need to do is manage debt control. You know what the Bible said in Romans chapter 13 verse 8? Owe no man anything. Now, I've heard all kind of arguments about what all that verse means, this, that, and the other, and you can argue it any way you want to. It's still good advice not to owe anybody. Amen. Now, whether that's the absolute doctrinal application of that verse, okay. But the point is well taken. If you want to be prosperous, the best way to do that, stay out of debt. When you owe everything coming in and then nothing left over, you ain't ever going to get ahead. Because I guarantee you something's going to break. Something's going to tear up, or somebody's going to get sick. Something's going to come up unexpected to take extra money. And once you get to that point where you owe it all every week and there's nothing left over, you just get further and further and further in the hole. I know people who pay their credit card debts with credit cards. The best thing you can do with a credit card is take it and cut it in pieces and throw it in the trash. Amen. Now, I know that in our society, because our prices are so inflated and everything is really out of whack, it's hard to be scriptural sometimes about some things. You almost can't have a house anymore without being in debt for it. You almost can't have a car without owing for it. But you can have a refrigerator without owing for it. You can have a new TV set without owing for it. Amen. Amen.
All those little things that you want, instead of saying, oh, I want it, I gotta have it, I like it, I love it, I want some of it, all that kind of stuff, and rushing down and buying everything and charging it and getting you an account down at Sears and Roebuck and Monkey Wards and all them other places. And at the first of the month, you get a stack of bills come in about this big. You say, oh, Lord, how am I going to pay all this? Well, you ain't going to pay all of it. You pay about a third of it this month, and a third of it next month, and a third of it the month after that, and then you start all over again. That ain't no way to live, and it's certainly no way to ever be prosperous. You're not ever going to have anything in savings. You're not ever going to have anything in the bank. You're never going to have anything for a rainy day if you spend everything you got today. I know folks, they work overtime. They give them a couple of hours overtime. They say, oh, I got 50 extra dollars this week. Where can we go to dinner? What can we do with it? Hey, stupid, cite me the law written in the universe that says you got to spend every dime you get as soon as you get it. I mean, if you've been living hand to mouth for the last 5 years trying to get out of a hole and you finally got an extra $100, what's wrong with putting it in the bank for a rainy day? What's wrong with putting it in the bank so that when the car needs a new set of tires, you ain't got to charge them and pay 18-20%. You could go down and spend that $300, $350, $400 cash and not be in a hole. Glory to God, wouldn't that be a blessing? Listen, part of being prosperous is learning debt control. Stay out of debt. Do without, suffer. Save. Hang on to it and then pay cash for it. And if something breaks and I mean, you go home tonight and the refrigerator's out. You got to have a refrigerator. And you ain't got the money for a refrigerator. Okay, go down and buy one. But if you got one down there for $3.95 that's big enough for you, and here's a nice one with a ice maker and a water dispenser and all this, that, and the other, side by side, you know, self-defrosting, and it's $12.95. Why don't you swallow your pride? Don't buy the $12.95 one. Buy the $400 one and make by. It keeps it just as cold. Amen. And you can run the water out of tap and put your own ice cube in it, you lazy sucker. Amen.
Well, we got to have the best. My mother-in-law's got one like this, and I want one just like hers.
Yeah, well, your mother-in-law's probably 70 years old and got her money made, sucker, and she probably deserves it and earned it and waited for it. Amen. Give yourself a few more years. Amen. Irks me to death, you know. Here's some young couple that are 20 or 25 years old, and they make $10 or $12 an hour. Both of them got to work to make ends meet, but they want to live in a house as big as mom and daddy's got and drive the same kind of car. There's something wrong with the picture where a junior and his sweet little bride with three or four young'uns is living in his high on the hog in nicer house and driving nicer car as mom and daddy who've been married 40 years. Hey, something ain't right about that. Amen. Amen. We're having fun, ain't we? Amen. I love preaching. I just love it. Debt control. Get it under control. Keep it to an absolute minimum. Pay them things off and don't start them up again. Get rid of them stupid credit cards. Cut them things up, throw them away, and don't get any more. Them charge accounts, pay them off. Close them out. Forget them things ever existed. Then when your income tax return comes back, you can take it out and spend it. You won't have to pay it to the credit card people. Number five, God's prosperity plan. Get your priorities straight. Develop a work ethic. Remember, capitalism works. Get your debt under control. Then practice responsible living. That means live within your means. Proverbs 25, and I don't know what that verse is there. I got it marked through. I can't tell what I said. Anyway, here's what it says. Hast thou found an honeycomb? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith, and thou vomit it. I just love that verse. He said, you find a honeycomb? He said, go ahead and eat some. Eat what is sufficient for you. Eat what you need. But don't eat it all.
Because then you're going to make yourself sick and you're going to throw it up. He said, just eat what's sufficient. Just take what you need. You know what's wrong with Americans? We don't want to live within our means. We don't take what we need. We want the best of everything, and we want everything everybody else has got. Americans, we're a strange creature. We're spoiled rotten. We say, have you ever had so-and-so over your house? Well, no, we don't have many folks over. Why not? Well, if you get to talk to them, you know what I figured out? They're ashamed of where they live. Well, they live in a little Prywood trailer. And they think these other people live in a big, fine house, and they're embarrassed. Well, listen, my plywood trailer's clean, thank you.
Amen.
And it's mine.
Amen.
Amen. And I ain't ashamed by nobody in. You're welcome.
Amen.
Amen. But we've got this thing anymore. We've got to live on a certain level and have a certain kind of house and a certain kind of furniture. We've got to look a certain way. Then we could. That's nonsense. People are in debt up to their ears trying to keep up with what everybody else has got. Maybe you don't make what they make. Or maybe you've had a run of bad luck, a lot of sickness and car trouble, and you just can't afford that kind of furniture. Okay, is yours clean? Did you come by it honest? Is it in good shape? Do you take care of it? In God's name, what are you ashamed of? I know you're an American. And you've got this TV mentality. You've got to have a certain kind of house, certain kind of car. You know, we've ruined our kids. They've got to wear certain kind of shoes. They're not worried about something to put on their feet to keep the rocks from hurting them. They're not worried about keeping something between themselves and the asphalt so their feet don't get blistered. They want a certain look. And they want to pay a certain amount. They don't say, man, those are cool. Where'd you get those? They say, man, what'd you pay for them? We're eat up. I mean, we eat slam up. It used to be, my mama would go down and she'd buy U.S. Kids or U.S. Flyers or whatever it was, you know. And it was like $2.99, $3 a pair. Some of these kids are paying $200 for a pair of sneakers. $200 for a pair of tennis shoes. $200 for a piece of canvas and some rubber. You're out of your mind. So a kid says, I ain't wearing that. If I wear that skirt, everybody think I'm a nerd. Well, I think you're an idiot. You want mama and daddy to take $200 when they could have bought you a nice pair of shoes for $15, $16? Whatever they cost. Till I ain't bought many lately. But we're whacked. We can't really be prosperous because we stay in debt all of our lives buying superfluous junk that we don't need. You know, I used to go in electronics store. I love electronics. It don't love me. All mine demon possessed. I don't know what it is. Everybody else can buy one just like I got, and theirs works fine. Mine's got a glitch in it. But I'm going to read the book on one of them one of these days and find out why. I forgot what my point was. Yeah, I do it like electronics. But I used to go in them stores, you know, and you say, man, here's one, and it's quadrosonic. I mean, it's got four speakers, and it was hi-fi, and it was stereo, and it was mono, and stereo, and quadruplex, and then the turntables were, you had to have a belt drive that you could adjust, and then they were laser control, and then it did away with records, and nobody needs, turntable at all. I got one sitting in the top of the closet, laser control, ain't used it in years, don't even know where it's at anymore. It might not even be there for all I know. So why'd you buy it? Man, it was a state of art. It was the top of the line. It was the best thing going. I had the best there was. Hello? And in just a little while, somebody come out with one with a fancier cabinet and a little gizmo mine didn't have. Amen. Now they're quartz controlled. Got all kind of feedback and protective circuits and this, that, and the other. And I was talking to a fellow the other day about our sound system here at the church, and we got a really nice sound system. I spent a lot of y'all's money on it, and it's nice. It works great. And I was talking to this fella, and they make videos, and we try to make videos, and I can't get the sound right on our video camera. And I've tried everything, and I can get it to work, but it modulates. It goes up and down. You can't tell where it's going to be. And so I'm talking to this guy, and he's got this big old sound room and all that stuff. I said, how do you get it to stay in range? How do you keep the sound on the tape in range? I know how we do it on the tape deck and stuff, but that little camcorder back there is different. And you can overpower that thing in just an instant. He said, well, it's real simple, Brother Hensley. He said, we got a compressor. I said, oh, yeah. What's a compressor? And he held up this little black box about that big. And I said, what's that doing? Boy, he started explaining it. I said, man, that's just what we need. If I had one of them, I could make them videos and I could keep the sound in there where it wouldn't be all blurred and fuzzy. He said, yeah. He said, just get one, do this, this, and this. And he said, and you said it so and so. And said, man, said, you'll be in business. I come back to church next day. I said, Sister Ned, I need a blank check. So what for? I'm going to get us a compressor. That's why. Ain't but about $150. It should be worth it. Amen. Who wants to go half-stepping? But I got to thinking about it. Well, I ain't going to get to the bottom of the line because I won't be happy with it. Because in 6 months after I learn how to use it real good, it won't be able to do all I want it to do. So I've upped my sights. I want a better one. I ain't even bought the first one yet. Say, why'd you tell us that? Because that's the way we all are. We've been brainwashed. We want the best of everything. And we want everything. Amen? We haven't learned to live with our means. We don't live responsibly. We buy more than we can afford. And then pretty soon, daddy's got to work. Mama's got to work. Kids are in daycare, this, that, and the other. The family goes to hell. There's no family time. We don't sit down at a supper table together. We don't know what each other's doing. We don't know what they're interested in. We don't know what they like and don't like. We're mama's tired. Daddy's tired. Everybody's grumpy. The kids catch hell all the time. The family goes up in smoke. So what caused that? Living beyond our means. Trying to live like we're prosperous when we're not. And fixing it so that we never can be. We're always going to be in debt. That debt's a nasty thing, boy. It'll eat you up. It'll wear you down. Take every dime you've got, and you get back there and look over the year, and you say, well, I made this many thousand last year and that many thousand the year before, and boy, I've made this much money in my lifetime. Where did it all go? Well, about 25-30% of it went in credit card interest debt. Amen. Anybody pays up more about 5 or 6% interest on anything is nuts. Amen. So, well, you can't get it down that low. Then don't buy it. We need to learn to live responsibly. Hast thou found a honeycomb? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit. You need enough to make yourself sick. You can buy enough to put yourself in the poorhouse. You need to learn to live within your means. Amen. Now, some of them doctors make a bunch of money. They can drive a Mercedes. Glory to God. I'm proud for them. I'm glad they got it. If I made that much money, I'd have one too. I don't make that much money. I drive a Ford. Amen. I'm driving all I can afford to drive. Now, I could afford a lot more if I didn't have some grandkids. I used to afford a lot more before I had all these grandkids here. But I'm not complaining. I thank God for them. Amen. But I could buy more car. I could drive me a big old fancy car. I can go down. I'm making money. I'd go down and buy me a Mercedes if I wanted one. I could. Of course, I wouldn't have the money to do all I do with my grandkids. And we wouldn't have the money to go like we do. And I wouldn't have money to keep in that thing's gas tank to keep it full so my wife could put 60,000 miles a year on one. Well, she'll put quite that much, but close. But the oil in our car never gets cold. See, why? I'd be living beyond my means.
I don't make the money to live like that. Most of y'all don't make the money to live like that. You ain't got to impress us. Listen, this is a church full of working folk. Working folk, you understand? Just common, ordinary people. I don't know who you're trying to impress. Man, I can look at the clothes you wear. I know how much money you make. Amen? Amen. And then we're going to feel bad about having somebody over our house because we live in an old trailer or something. I've lived in old trailers most of my life. Amen. Well, I don't care. Amen. Just keep me warm and dry. My wife still snuggles up to me at night. Amen. You don't get no better than that.
Amen.
Amen. We went on that cruise here a while back. And it was fun. I enjoyed being big shot for a week. You know, I like that. I like being waited on hand and foot and all that stuff. And I really did try to. I waited on my wife. When the waiters wasn't doing it, I was doing it. I took good care of her. I made sure she had a good time. I mean, I treated her like a baby. But we had the upper level cabin. We had the best cabin you could get. We didn't go second rate. I said, man, it's about been 40 years. I'm not going to scrimp now. The difference between middle ways down and the top was about $150. I said, give me the top. I got a queen. I want her to live like a queen. I put her up in that big old cabin. We had a nice cabin. And boy, we had big old dinners, you know, and they weighed on you hand and foot, and silver and china and tablecloth, linen cloths and all that. But it was great. Went to that cabin at night, took a shower, put on your jams and get in bed. My baby doll curled up to me, and I thought, ain't a bit of difference between here and home. Ain't a bit of difference between here and home. It's good anywhere you go. Amen. Have that sweet thing that loves you curl up to you, nice and warm and soft. Go to sleep. Wake up in the morning, she's laying right there. You don't get no better than that. Amen? And you know, in that little old trailer over there, or on that big old fancy ship, you make a dime's worth of difference. Happiness is not in where you're at. It's in who you are. Amen? Boy, we got this wrong conception that happiness comes with having this and having that and being a big shot. And so we live above our means. We spend more than we make. We get ourselves in debt. We stay frustrated, worried about paying our bills. What if I miss a day's work? I don't know what I'll do and all that kind of. That's no way to live. That's no way to live. Get it under control. Get your debts in line. Live responsibly. Live within your means. Work hard. Put God first and ask God Almighty to bless it. And you'll live a prosperous life. Amen. Let me close with this. Seems like I've preached a long time all day today. Some days it's just that way, you know. The greatest prosperity there is, though, isn't financial prosperity. It's spiritual prosperity. Luke chapter 9, verse 25 said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" 3 John verse 2 said, "I pray that you might prosper even as thy soul prospers." I don't care how much of this world's good you got. I don't care how prosperous you are. If you're not right with God, you don't have the right kind of prosperity. If you don't know for sure that you're saved by God's grace and on your way home to glory, you're not prosperous. You can't take this world's goods with you. Real prosperity is those things that you can take with you when you leave this place. Amen. If you want to be a really prosperous person, you need to get saved by God's grace. Put God first place in your life. Live for Him. Keep everything right between you and God, day by day and hour by hour, that God might bless you, that you might be prosperous on the inner man. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world? You can be a fashion model and wear the finest clothes. All the boys can flock to you and think you're the prettiest, shapeliest, sexiest, prettiest thing that ever drew a breath. And be miserable on the inside. No peace and no joy. No hope for tomorrow. Die and leave this world and go straight to a devil's hell. The world thought you were somebody. The world thought you were prosperous. The world thought you had everything. And in reality,
You had absolutely nothing. The real question tonight is your soul prosperous? Are you right with God? Is God Almighty first in your life? Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, the honest truth is, I don't know why most of us complain. What we're worried about, you've been so good to us. Most of us got more than we ever thought we'd have. I know, Lord, I look back on my life where my wife and I started, what we had. We had nothing. You've been mighty good to us. Beyond my wildest imaginations. I know by the world standards we don't have much, but if you look where we came from, we got a lot. But Lord, in our house we got peace and joy. Lord, in our house we got love. Lord, in our house we've got God. We're prosperous. Our heart's at rest. Our soul's at peace. And we thank you for that. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in this place that's hung up on possessions. Somebody that might be embarrassed about what they do or what they've got in this life, where they've gotten to in life. I pray you give them a proper perspective. We're just flesh and bone. We're just mud and water. We're not here trying to impress people. Pinto beans is just as good off an oil cloth as is a linen cloth. Help us to get a grip on reality and understanding what really counts. What really counts is where we're at with God. How's our soul tonight? Are we okay spiritually? Are we saved by God's grace? Are we living for God? Do we have God's blessing on our life? Do we have His peace in our heart? That's what's important. Help us to get a grip on God's prosperity plan. Do it God's way. Help us to be thankful for all that you give us. But help us, my Father, to be careful to maintain that spiritual relationship that we might prosper in the inner man day by day. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.